The presidential motorcade had just passed through heavy crowds in downtown Dallas and was circling through the fringes of the business district when three shots suddenly rang out.
Destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives. One story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show.
The Marxist takeover of the United States has been able to flourish because of the fact that we've allowed institutions, mainly institutions of higher learning, to be hijacked. And in doing so, they become petri dishes for activism and fomenting resistance and installing and indoctrinating Marxism. And so now they want to take this to the lower levels. And that's why you're seeing this push. There's this push to have children get just inundated with gay, homosexual, graphic novel porn, drag queens dancing in front of kids and toddlers because they're looking for tolerance. This is the way they want to field tolerance, right? Well, we've got to win now, finally. And that's one of the things we have to really be thankful for the Freedom Caucus for the 15 votes against Kevin McCarthy, the 15 times the votes happened, because Kevin McCarthy has now decided he's going to take into consideration anything the Freedom Caucus has done and or what the Freedom Caucus wants. And he's done that a number of times recently. So we have to be happy about that. Investigations, committees to go after the weaponization of government. All these things are because of the stance that the Freedom Caucus took that the rhinos wanted us not to take because we would look foolish on the main stage. And we just need to pass him and get him in power as quickly as possible so they can get to the work of the American people, in which they just turned around and just went home for a couple weeks. And we talked about that on a previous podcast. But the win here is for the parents. So Kevin McCarthy puts out the Parents' Bill of Rights, the right to know what's being taught in schools and see the reading materials, the right to be heard, the right to see school budgets and spending, and the right to protect your child's privacy, and the right to be notified of any violent activity at school. Take it away, Kevin.
You have a parent's bill of rights now. This says the parent can now know what's being taught in the school. This is now saying the parents can now look at the reading material. It's now saying the parents can now see what the money is being spent on. It's now saying that the parents can protect their kids' privacy. It now says the parents can have a notification if there's any violent activity on campus. But unfortunately, the Democrats are too extreme to believe that parents should have a say in their kids' education.
So there you go. Now it's going over to the Senate. Most likely we can expect the Senate to just take a giant dump on that. But we are moving to uncover the fact that your school curriculum needs to be available for the parents. It needs to be open and transparent. But they don't think you should have any sort of say in your child's own education, because they want to build the tolerance, right? The tolerance that we saw in that horrific shooting in Nashville. And we want to pray for the families involved. Three children and three adults killed in a Christian school targeted by a transgender individual who was speaking to a friend saying that she was going to die today. Apparently, she had some guns. You know, the mom was an anti-gun activist or, you know, anti-gun advocate. I don't think she was out there on the front lines, but she had indicated that, you know, this individual got rid of her guns or his guns, or whatever you want to call her, which was funny. Well, the funny part was when news broke of a shooting, they said a female was out there shooting a school classroom, a Christian school classroom. The odd thing was I was going, that doesn't make sense, because even though, yeah, one of the biggest shootings in human history was conducted by a female, on the average, it's typically male dominated in the sense of school shootings or in the sense of just mass shootings in general. So I was just kind of making light of today's world, how everything is bizarre and everything doesn't make sense. And I had messaged somebody and said, do we know if they identify as a female or a male? And that's when it came out a couple hours later that it was a transgender person who decided to take it out on this Christian school. Apparently, this individual was having issues and was in therapy, but was also meeting with the pastor of the church that houses the school. And that individual, the pastor, his daughter was one of the ones killed. So it makes you wonder whether or not this attacker was targeting them. But of course, the left went ahead and made it all about the Republicans' pounce, right? This was the Pernell Whitaker of Republicans' pounce stories. Pound for pound, the heavyweight champion of Republicans' pounce, because we were all like, what's going on here? We really want to pray for those involved, and we really want to not jump to conclusions, but the left was out there going, we got to get rid of the guns, like they always do, and then it came out later that it was a transgender individual, and it blew their narrative all up in their face. And then Republicans were going, well, hey, this person's got mental issues. We probably need to address those. We probably need to take in mental illness into an account, especially if we're going to base that upon whether or not we have red flag laws, whether or not somebody can be stopped for buying a weapon before they have due process. Remember that? Oh, well, they may have mental issues. We're just not going to let them buy a gun. Well, suddenly that went out of the window. I mean, you have this individual texting her friend saying, so basically that post I made on here about you that was basically a suicide note, I am planning to die today. This is not a joke. You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. This is my last goodbye. I love you. See you again in another life. And that was Audrey, or also known as Aiden. Person responded, Audrey, you have so much more life to live. I pray that God keeps you and covers you. And Audrey responded with, I don't know, but I don't want to live. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to upset you or get attention. I just need to die. I wanted to tell you first because you're the most beautiful person I've ever seen and known in my life. And then this person decides to die by suicide by cop, which we were told was what happened on the baseball field with the Republican baseball team and John Hodgkinson taking out the baseball team over Obamacare. But that's the thing. We have to look at the fact that tolerance is not going to be built by having kids see gay porn in their schools. It's not going to be built by having kids get teabagged and twerked on by drag queens. But yet that's where they're going with this, because here's the problem, the insecurity that drove these people to align with, because the transgender movement is on a ridiculous rise. And what a lot of people, Miranda, who was it that was, there was an individual who writes a book, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, wrote a whole book on the rise in the female population of transgenderism. And I was sitting there going, but how is this happening? And then when they explained that it was insecurities and social media amping up the insecurities, they are looking at their friends going, they have the perfect life, they look beautiful, they have the perfect bodies, they've got the perfect boyfriend situation, and they're out there going, I don't have anything going on, and they're depressed. This community reaches out and embraces them, says, come on in, you're one of us. Oh, by the way, don't listen to your parents because they're just a bunch of fuddy-duddy prudes. And you may not be an actual boy or girl. You may be the opposite of what you were born into. And so that lie is perpetuated, but that community builds a bond over the insecurity, the self-consciousness of these individuals. And that is what's driving all of this on elevated levels. And so now you're basically telling us this is the epitome of, not only does it takes a village, but it's also the epitome of, you need to take the vaccine because you're doing something good to look out for others, right? So we need to reshape society and make it more embracing and affirmative to your desires and your insecurities and your self-consciousness. We need to elevate everybody to get them on board to embrace you, or you're going to commit suicide. How about maybe check in the mirror? How about maybe the problem could be you? And so my fear is what we saw in Nashville is going to be perpetuated on a higher level. Because think of this. If you've got all these people that we have to be so tolerant that we have to read gay porn to our kids in kindergarten, or they're going to kill themselves, what if they all don't want to do it by themselves? Maybe they want to be killed by a cop. And maybe they found some people they don't like, ideologically, like Christians. And so you get a situation like what happened in Nashville. The most incredulous part of this whole thing is, outside of Madonna, the old hag, it looks like she's had way too much plastic surgery. Typically looks like a car airbag has deployed, and she just got out of the car after having her face swollen. Raising money with a benefit concert for the transgender activist groups. Not for the Christian schools, not for the parents, not for the GoFundMes that have been set up. No, she's going to do it for that. Then we have them out there, the news media, basically saying that the transgender individual was one of the victims. So they're raising their hands, putting seven fingers up in the air. Put seven fingers up in the air because we had seven victims. I've got one finger that I'm going to put up in the air. And it's a salute. I like to call it the one finger salute. But yeah, I've got one finger for your freaking victim. Here's the thing. All of this is because they cannot let that marginalized group be villainized or vilified. They can't turn them into villains. They can't turn them into the monsters that they're starting to become. And they have to be able to continue to destroy the nuclear family, to destroy the relationship between parents and kids, so that the subservient activists that they build in the schools are subservient to the state. And so you have people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez up there acting like this legislation that they were trying to put in Florida to make all of the curriculum transparent and public to the parents. And also, you know, the stuff that Kevin McCarthy's pushing to make curriculum transparent so that parents know what they're dealing with. She acts like it's some sort of crazed attack. Listen to her spout off on this.
They are asking the Republican Party to keep culture wars out of classrooms. Our children need urgent and aggressive educational solutions. The American Library Association coming out against this Republican proposal. When we talk about progressive values, I can say what my progressive value is, and that is freedom over fascism. Thank you very much.
Gentlewoman's time has expired. The gentleman from Virginia.
Not only do you have her, you have other individuals. Let's listen to more Democrats trying to justify putting gay porn in schools. And the thing that I really wanted to do, because I actually started putting all this together before the shooting last week, and I decided to put it on hold because it was such a horrific week, I wanted to go through and actually read a little bit of what they're saying is, it's book banning. What are they banning? Well, the problem on the right is we don't really get into what they're actually banning. We kind of gloss over it and say, well, it's an inappropriate gay porn like we talked about. Ron DeSantis actually probably did the best attack on this by talking about what he was going to do and in a split screen showing the graphic novels and the dialogue that was being said so that you could watch it and go, oh, wow, that is pretty bad. And we've had instances of parents at school board meetings reading the book aloud. We had one individual with I think it was like a 15-year-old child with them reading the book to the school, and they got mad, pulled the microphones, basically told them that they need to censor, that they've got kids watching on Zoom, and that we shouldn't be doing this inappropriate information or in this inappropriate dialogue at a school board meeting, but yet it's in the book that your kid's going to read, right? It's recommended reading by these activist teachers. So I kind of wanted to get into reading a little bit of what the book actually says, because there's been one that everyone has seen, and it's really disgusting, about a boy giving another boy a Hummer or something like that. The other one is even more egregious, and it really gets into what they're actually trying to do. But let's listen to some of these Democrat hacks try to play politics with this issue.
So my message to my colleagues is simple. Stop being mean to kids.
Don't be mean to the kids. You know what's mean to the kids? How about destroying their innocence? How about wrecking their innocence? Stripping it away with your depravity. And they're not even just doing it on the homosexual front. They're also doing it with race relations. And that's under the DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, attack, infiltration, divide, infiltrate. I mean, eradicate. I don't know. Maybe that's what the DEI stands for. But I'm going to get into how DEI is nothing but a Trojan horse for Marxism. But listen to this individual grill a school board over the fact that they're trying to push critical race theory, which is based off critical theory, which is a Marxist idea. I had this chat online where people kept going, you can't tell me that critical race theory is Marxist, and I'm providing all the receipts because it's really easy to find. And she grills this school board. Just listen to her take him to town.
My name is Coffee Monska. I'm an attorney, wife, and mom to three boys, two of which are in high school. This bill requires that schools teach ethnic studies starting in kindergarten, and I'm against this. You might ask, why in the world would a black person speak against ethnic studies? Because not everything that sounds good is good. The definition of ethnic studies right there in the statute says that there's a connection between a person's race and their stratification. The bill tells kids of color that they are stuck in a caste system based on their race. It also tells kids, and I quote, that institutions chronically favor white people and disadvantage people of color. I'm sick of everyone denying the enormous progress we've made in this country, acting like it's 1930. We used to have a race-based system. We got rid of it, and now you're all trying to bring it back. This curriculum will not help kids of color succeed. All it does is remove any reason to try. And I repeat that, it removes any reason to try. And this is not some theoretical crap. This stuff happens. These messages are very harmful. Just last month in my high schooler's band class, the teacher took 20 minutes at the beginning of class to talk about anti-racism. He told the kids to look around. And then he said the black boys in the school would likely not live to retirement because of racism and the police. Another furious kid of color recorded this conversation, and so I was able to hear it for myself with my own ears. If this law is passed, teaching this hopelessness to kids of color will be mandated starting in kindergarten. And I can see why you white proponents of this bill might support it. It's not your kids being told that they can't succeed, and you get to shed some of your white guilt in the process. But you legislators of color, how can you? You made it despite the invisible boogeyman of systematic racism. You were voted in by a majority of white people. You hold some of the most powerful positions in this state. Yet you want to tell my kids and other kids of color that they can't succeed? It's shameful. It's terrible. I ask that you please vote against this bill. Thank you for this opportunity.
And that's what you do. You reject the premise. Always use that as the way to defeat an argument. Don't get sucked into their schematics and all their BS and their deflections. You know, they'll sit there and go down this road. Well, you believe this and you believe that. Go to the premise. What is the premise of the argument? And reject it, because it's always wrong. And diversity, equity, inclusion is wrong. It is a Marxist takeover of the institutions. It is how we have this racism being fomented when it was at a very minimal, at least in the late mid-90s. And it's also why transgenderism is gaining this rise. Now, here's the problem that they don't realize. They used to be able to persuade you, right? They used to take things slow, persuade people, get them on board. And I guess they think now that the division is such that it's been heightened to a degree that whatever they say, the balkanized side of the left is going to go along with, which partly they're right. I've seen it. I'll show you firsthand. But the other part, which they don't realize, is they've become like Jehovah's Witnesses. They've become the annoying street preacher on the corner saying, you're all going to go to hell. It doesn't help. It doesn't further the cause. It alienates people. And it really gets to a point where people don't want to participate. They don't want the knock on the door Saturday morning. You know what I mean? They don't want to be fed the watchtower. They don't want somebody breathing down their throats, just forcing them to comply. Those things always have a backlash to them. But there is a good portion of the Democrat Party, those who follow the Democrats, who will just go along with it. I mean, I never thought I'd see the day that you could just have a political party actively grooming kids with books on how to use sex toys, and they just cheer along with it. Like, oh, it's no big deal, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene calls them out as pedophiles on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl. And Leslie Stahl's like, don't you think that's a bit much? Do you not know where your party went, Leslie Stahl? I mean, your party has gone off the rails that far that they're grooming kids. And we're going to show you some blatant, I'm not going to get explicit because I know you might have kids in the car. But I do want you to hear some of the language, some of the text, some of the writings that are in these books. But here's an example of how the left, these are actual personal friends of mine, and I was shocked to see it, but this person's a very nice person. I've known her for years, but for some reason, she always takes the side. She would sometimes take a Ron Paul side, which I thought was odd. She takes a Bernie side, and then she takes, you know, whatever the gay agenda side is, because she's down there in Disneyland. So she's around a lot of them. Again, very nice girl. I was going to put something in response to it, but I felt if I did that, I could potentially start a fire and blow up relationships, and it's not worth it. That's why I'm on Twitter more than I'm on Facebook, because my Facebook is very personalized, where my Twitter account is not. And the reason being is because I got tired of having political arguments with friends and losing people I went to kindergarten with, or people I went to college with, or those that I played in the music business with, all because of the fact that I had stances. I felt like it's pointless. Why am I yelling at them? I can yell directly at Joe Biden. I can yell directly at George Soros. I can yell directly, and some of them will actually respond. I'd rather do that than to sit there and alienate my misguided friend who we agree on 100 other things. What's the point in arguing about that, you know? So she puts up there, a man can't become a woman, but a man's rib can become a woman. And just some of the people, just responses are just so stupid. One person said, this, you know, just had a private sparring of words on the subject. And he said his upbringing and biblical teachings are what guides him. Wish I had one in my pocket. Too late, not opening that can again. And my friend responded, trans woman pals, next time someone tells you you can't be a woman, tell them you used to be a rib. And someone said, I will instead projectile vomit, and it is less mentally taxing than trying to reason with TERFs. TERFs are those are supposedly people that can't stand transgender people. That's their dumb term. One person jokingly, you made me really crave ribs. One person laughing my ass off. My favorite Insta meme page turned out to be a TERF. What if everyone is just fine as whoever they are? That's my dream, right? So it's this sort of civil rights movement of just be who you want to be. You know what? I was fine with that. The libertarian part of my conservatarianism was fine with you being who you want to be. That was until you crossed the line and shoved gay porn in my kids' books. When you encroach upon our children with sexually subversive literature hidden in their libraries, in their schools, so that you could erode their innocence, so that you could make them question things that they shouldn't even be on their radar yet. Get them to a point where they're completely confused, and then they're taken to a psychiatrist, someone with multiple licenses and certificates and degrees and credentials and so-called credibility, maybe reputation, and they decide, you know what, you need to go to this doctor, and then a doctor with degrees and certificates and licenses, decides he wants to permanently chop off your sexual organs and mutilate you at age 15, it gets to a point where we decide to step in and want to legislate this. Consent of the government. We get pissed. The government gets pissed. The citizenry do not want to be attacked, and they will stand up and legislate. And a lot of times they say, well, see, they're trying to build a theocracy because these Christian leaders are in there pushing this legislation. Here's the thing. When you are following what God wants for us, when you are following Christ, it benefits your husband and wife. It benefits your children, your family. It benefits your community when you're out there loving thy neighbor by helping them out and being a part of the community and enriching the community with your kindness. It benefits your workplace when you go to work and you operate with integrity and have that base of Christian values in you that makes people want to talk to you about it as a witness. And when you take it into public office, whether it be the municipal city councils, state legislatures, state house, maybe on the federal end, congressman, senate, president, well, then you're going to follow those values in how you conduct yourself, how you see legislation, how you pass things that are good for the electorate. So these people don't realize the benefits. They get benefited from two things. First off, they get benefited from conservative values because they get a good economy. They get liberty and freedom. But then they also get benefited by having people that strive not to be exploitative in their actions, not to be someone who's underhanded and corrupt. Now, granted, we're all sinful. We fall short of the glory of God. But here's the thing. We're going to strive to that end. And the benefits just fall across the wayside. Everybody gets to benefit from that. And so when you come and attack those values, when you piss on those values, when you wipe those values with your rusty sheriff's badge, we're going to go to the legislature and say, hey, we need to put a stop to this. We're going to go to the school boards and say, we need to put a stop to this. We're going to start to run for office, and we're going to start to move into areas because we can't expect our religious values to be protected anymore. So what's happening in Florida is you have them standing up saying, no, you're not going to mutilate kids. And we're not going to put this literature in the libraries. So then they're going to take it out of the books and they're going to move it into every aspects of culture. Maybe NASCAR. Maybe they'll put it in hockey, which it's being rejected left and right. They're rejecting every single trans jersey event. Every Pride night is being rejected by every hockey team in the NHL. And then you have country music. You have CMT, the Country Music Awards, up there with drag queens trying to celebrate the transgender shooter that was killed, that killed all those kids in Nashville. Same place where the home of country music is supposed to be. They're out there talking about gun control. Don't get up on their soapbox and go, I'm going to have me a beer, sit on back of my truck with my shotgun. No, because they're coming for your shotguns. You people have been taken over by the liberal agenda. It's ridiculous. And here's how you defeat this dumb argument about how a man can't become a woman, but a man's rib can become a woman. And this is what I wanted to respond with. The real amazing part is the rib was made into a woman by God. God, only God has the miraculous power to take a rib and turn it into a woman. Science can't. Science can give you boob implants, give you lip injections, give you butt injections. They can sit there and give you hair extensions. They can shave your Adam's apple. But guess what? They can't change your chromosomes. They can't change your biological makeup. You're still a dude if you're a woman who thinks you're a dude, or you're a dude who thinks you're a woman, you're still a dude. If you think you're a Elliot Page, guess what? You're still a girl. And science cannot turn the rib into a woman. Only God can do that. And that is the thing with the transgender movement. You have to realize they are rejecting the creation of God. God made all things perfect. Sin is what came in and muddied the waters. Sin is why you have defects. It's why you have disease. It's why you have cancer. It's why you have tornadoes and violent storms. These are all things that came about because we broke that covenant with the Lord, who is walking in the cool of the morning with us, in concert with us, in tandem in the garden. We brought all that evil into the world. We brought all that sin. We brought disease and famine. God uses it to his glory. But all these people are saying, I'm born in the wrong body. That is a rejection of what God created. And you've got this idiot out here on Joy Reid's show talking about how God created this individual to be transgender. And her God, which God was made, God is referenced throughout the Bible as him, and we are made in his image, and the woman is made from the rib. Listen to this nonsense. This person's just literally insane. And Joy Reid is an idiot, so she'll give this person a platform.
I think children are only unsafe at drag shows when a shooter shows up to kill them.
That's right.
That's where the threat is. I would challenge anyone just to get to know trans people. We are a vibrant, diverse community, as diverse as anyone else. You know, I'm from the great state of Texas. I served in the military. I go to church every Sunday. My faith is very important to me. But God made me in her image. God made me transgender. And to see these people so cynically weaponize this and exploit these children's debts and their teachers' debts, it breaks my heart. I wonder what those families are thinking right now.
What do you feel when you have somebody like Michael Knowles say at CPAC, we need to eradicate transgenderism, and when somebody like Tucker Carlson says that transgender people are at war with Christians?
I can't see Christ in their words. That's for damn sure. I can't see where the biblical principles of loving your neighbor and walking the walk with Christ that they can see. I can't see what they're seeing right now, because that's not of Christ. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, that person's nuts. And from what I understand, that person, he was originally canceled a few years ago because he didn't toe the party line. He didn't toe the agenda of the left completely. Now this person's up there pretending to be a woman and calling God her. You know, what is this, Dishwalla? Counting blue cars? Because I really like, tell me your thoughts on God, because I really like to see her. No, stop that. Okay? God is him. You can read the Bible and see millions of times where God is referenced as him, and we had to put that to bed. But see, these people are mentally unstable, and they think, again, that if they can get all of us to affirm them, then their insecurities and their mental confusion will go away, and they'll just become happy. They won't just become suicidal and then go shoot up a Christian school so the cops can come up and take you out so you can die today. I mean, think about the quintessential example of all of this. And I've seen this off and on because my wife loves the TLC channel. So we watch the 90 Day Fiancé, we watch the Sister Wives, and we've seen all of the different wedding contests, who's got the best wedding, you know, and you win a trip. We've seen all of those things. She's watched the prison romances, the people getting shacked up overseas, all that. And so, you know, sometimes I'm in the middle of doing something else and kind of slightly hear a few things from one of the shows she's watching. But one she really didn't watch much, but occasionally once in a blue moon, we would see a little bit of it, was Jazz. I Am Jazz. Jazz Jennings. This is the quintessential example of this whole thing. So you have a progressive California family. I guess Jazz, when they were like five, playing with girls' toys, they decided, okay, my kid identifies as a girl, we're going to call him Jazz and dress him in women's clothes. Over time, of course, it probably didn't help that TLC is exploiting this for a television show, and they're probably getting money for this. You know, Kate Plus Eight was able to buy that big house for all those quintuplets or whatever, because of the money that TLC raised. Honey Boo Boo was able to have her crackhead lifestyle paraded on TV because of the money TLC gave. So what used to be the Learning Channel should be called the Exploitative Channel, but you know, I'm going to fight with my wife over that and probably not win in that arena. But Jazz Jennings, at a certain point, was trying to date boys. And actually, when you heard Jazz talk and the relationships they talked about in the school, it was insane. This person's non-binary. This person's cisgendered. Jazz wanted to date a girl. Jazz wanted to date a boy. It was just all over the place. Complete confusion. And so at one point, they were giving Jazz puberty blockers. This is the first time I ever heard of top surgery and bottom surgery, which isn't a medical term. They use that to make it cute sound. I want bottom surgery. How about top surgery? That is not a medical term. And so Jazz decides she wants bottom surgery. And one of the things that happens is Jazz can't, I'm trying not to fall in the canard. Reject the premise, right, Adrian? I'm trying not to fall into the canard that they build, but Jazz wanted the bottom surgery. Well, the puberty blockers didn't allow the growth to happen to the point where they can turn the Audi into an innie, if you get my drift. And so Jazz was really torn up about this. Apparently they found a doctor that would go through it. I think it's the doctor who is also on Matt Walsh's What Is a Woman show. So they go through the process. Jazz is in recovery for a long time. They have to go back and do multiple surgeries to get it right. It just, the puberty blockers hindered any growth. So now you've got Jazz medically in the hospital on a regular basis. And then I told my wife the other day, I said, have you seen Jazz lately? She was like, no. I said, she looks like she's got like 300 pounds. Jazz, put on a ton of weight. They tried to say maybe the hormones had something to do with that. So this person is just getting screwed by her parents, by the medical community, by TLC, exploiting them to the point where Breitbart has trans reality star Jazz Jennings not satisfied by gender-affirming procedures. Quote, I don't feel like me ever. It's sad what they've done to this person. Now, they Greta Thunberg'd her. They had Jazz at the UN talking about transgenderism, all of this stuff. They basically used Jazz as a pawn, like they do all of their political agendas. Greta Thunberg for climate change, David Hogg and Emma Gonzalez for gun control. Use the kids. It's a communist tactic. From Breitbart, after 8 seasons, 4 sex change surgeries, and countless hormone treatments, TLC's I Am Jazz star, Jazz Jennings, still doesn't feel right. Quote, I don't feel like me ever, quote, Jazz revealed in a recent episode. Jazz Jennings, who was born a boy and declared himself transgender at the age of 5, confessed feelings of dissatisfaction to his mother, Jeanette. I just want to feel like myself. All I want is to be happy and feel like me. I don't feel like me ever, Jazz said in an emotional exchange caught on camera. The current season follows Jazz's severe weight gain and adventures into dating and romance. Now 22 years old, student at Harvard University, the reality TV star, has tried dating men, but revealed he was attracted to women in the latest episode. I'm telling you, it's the most confusing thing I've ever seen. Jazz dating life has been challenging. Growing up, quote, I was always called the chick with the thingy, and the boys would ignore me. I wonder why. Trans women are beautiful, Jazz later tweeted. Get to know us before you judge us. And she's got tweets going on and on about Donald Trump and all this and that. And that's the thing. They weaponized this movement against conservatives and used people like Jazz as their pawns. And now this person's going to grow up, if they make it, because they're typically suicidal. They're not ever going to feel like themselves. And the happiness they're looking for is the happiness that we're going to celebrate this coming up weekend when we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ. And we understand that God created us in his image and that God created all things perfect and that God's creation is purposeful. And this whole movement of confusion, did God really say this? Just straight confusion and chaos is all of Satan. And when I get to the part, which we're about to do now, what are they banning book-wise? What are these books that they're banning? What do they contain? Oh, it's ridiculous. Because they're trying to use the fact that sex education is taught in schools. The problem is they're using the blanket term, just like they're using banning as a blanket term. Oh, they're banning books. They're not for free speech. You know, they defined speech as a crucifix in a jar of piss back in the 90s. Well, what is it that they're promoting? They don't realize sex ed in schools when I was growing up was about the biological aspects of sex. Fallopian tubes and semen and eggs and vagina and penis, you know, that whole thing. It wasn't about how to use this toy the right way. It wasn't about using a ball gag and a sex swing. But that's where they're going with this. We're going to read a little bit. And of course, I'm going to censor it for you, so don't worry. I'm not going to get too graphic with it, but I think there's some parts that need to be given the light of day so that you can understand that we're just not out there banning books for the heck of it. I can just tell you right now, when I was in school, the National Geographic with the Ethiopian woman carrying the jug of water on her head with her boobs hanging out, guess what? They didn't have that in there. They'd take that one out of the library. But yet, this book is being touted as something that needs to be placed in the library for kids? Yeah, we're going to get in that here in just a moment.
This is Adrian Slade.
A mentally ill teenager who had been groomed and preyed upon and sexually exploited online to the point of authorities getting involved. I spiraled into a hatred of myself and my body and was told that it was just because I was a boy born in the wrong body and that this would fix me. I was affirmed down a path where I wasn't given any other choice as to what would help me. The very first medical intervention I ever had was a double mastectomy at 16. And then a few months later, I was put on testosterone. I'm now 21, and I will live with the impacts of that so-called care for the rest of my life. In the past 4 or 5 months, I have watched as my body has fallen apart in front of me, my joints constantly hurting, my vocal cords aching, watching as parts of me atrophy away before my very eyes. And yet at 16, they looked me in the eyes and they told me this was care. They told me it would save me. Despite the fact I was never suicidal, my parents were baited with the idea of, would you rather have a dead daughter or a living son? Bullied into going along with it, their biggest crime being trusting those who they thought took an oath to do no harm. It's not about hate detransitioning. It never has been. It's about keeping kids whole. I've worked with children, I've seen them explore the world, and I've seen that magic that they have. And doing something like transitioning them takes that away. How can you look me in the eyes and tell me that a child can consent to being changed to an experimental medical industry before they're even old enough to drive or understand the impacts of what that means in the first place? Kids deserve to be kids. They deserve to get to explore the world as a safe and loving place.
That's pretty daggone powerful. This person is actually transitioning back and telling us that this is not good for kids, because it's not about teaching tolerance to make sure people don't commit suicide. It's about Marxism. Marxism is based off of Satanism, and Marxism is the goal to destroy capitalism. It's the way that they can bring down the United States, and they seem to be doing a great job of that on the inside. And they're infiltrating every sector. They're infecting the churches. Listen to this pastor talking about how drag is holy.
drag is holy. There has been an assault on the rights of drag performers in this country, and we must call out the hypocrisy and the injustice. Jesus called himself a mother hen longing to gather up her chicks. Gender is a construct, you see. And if Jesus can be a mother hen, then you can dress in drag. I've even heard it said that Jesus was, and humanity is, God in drag. So let me say this again for those of you in the back. Drag is holy.
Drag's not holy, okay? And they're infiltrating churches. They're infiltrating schools, universities. Cartoon Network had some Trans Day of Visibility thing about gender pronouns and crap. This little promo that's run. Cartoon Network. Not Adult Swim. Cartoon Network. All institutions are under attack. Country music, as they just had with the drag queens dancing at the award show because of gun violence. Nothing about the Christians, nothing about, which would be what you would think would be at a country music concert. All institutions are under attack. So let's talk about these books that they want to ban, that they think we are attacking. This book is Gay by Juno Dawson. This is actually one of the schools. Here's the description. Offers answers to questions about homosexuality, bisexuality, and transgender people, from sex to politics, hooking up with to stereotypes, coming out, and more. This exploration of sexuality and what it's like to grow up LGBTQ also includes real stories from people across the gender and sexual spectrums, not to mention humorous illustrations. So this is one of the books that they had. So let's see. Part one, Boy on Boy Sex. This is a book that is in schools. Here is a diagram of a boy. If you feel you are also a boy, you are probably aware which parts feel nice when you touch them. But here's a rough guide. And I'm not going to go through some of these. They go through certain areas, but it's obvious where we're going with this. They talk about how nice it is to feel on private areas. I'm not going to get into the details of that. But what really gets me is they have in this book, the bum. They're talking about the behind. Up your bun, you have a prostate gland, which feels real nice when massaged. The anus is also sensitive and responds to being played with. This is a book for kids. It goes on. And then they talk about apps. How sex apps work. Upload a tiny pic of yourself to the app. The app works out your location. The app tells you who the nearest homosexuals are. You can chat with them because they are near. It is easy for you to meet up with them. So outside of you being able to find a partner, right, for some instant gratification, they're also building the community. So even if they want to say, well, it's not sexually explicit. It's about, you know, building friendships. Oh, they're building the community that social media and insecurity and self-consciousness caused the rise in transgenderism. They're now building that embracing community. That's grooming. So the book goes on. This chapter is about sex. Therefore, it has sex in it. Well, duh. If you're a younger reader and feel you aren't ready for the finer details of same-sex pairings, then simply skip this whole chapter. However, before you do, I'd like to remind you that we taught you all about straight sex when you were 10 years old during the year six, or during the grades, or year six, grade six, I guess is where they're going with. The fact that they didn't also teach you what same-sex couples do is nothing less than institutionalized homophobia. Straight sex was presented as a norm to make 5% of the population feel abnormal. Is there something icky about gay sex? Is there something wrong with it? I challenge any politician to discuss with me. I will ruin them. This chapter is simply all about staff teachers should be saying if they want to be inclusive of people with same-sex lifestyles. So they're basically going back to what I was talking about with biological sex classes, that they just go, well, see, you were taught straight sex in school when you were 10 years old in grade 6, but you know what? No one taught you homosexual. Well, no, they were talking about biological sex. What makes babies, right? They didn't say, here's how you get it on. They didn't say, hey, do you want to be on top or bottom? They didn't say any of that. But this is what this book is basically trying to insinuate, is that you were taught one thing, but you were being homophobic and you're engaging in discrimination because you aren't shown the other side of the coin. No kid needs to be shown any side of the coin. I mean, this is the problem. And these are the books that they want to eliminate from kindergarten libraries. I don't see a problem with that. Do you? And this is the fight that we're having. It is important that we stand firm on this ground because they're coming for us. The UN has already said that they won't tolerate any sort of religious stances against homosexuality, except for Islam. For some reason, they get a pass. It's like China with global warming and climate change. They get a pass. Just set up coal plants, burn up the sky. It's okay. Throw gays off buildings. I don't care. Allah likes it. But if you're a Christian and if you are of values of freedom and individual liberty, well, we got to destroy that. So let's start with your kids. Let's groom them first. This is the fight that we're having. And when we're coming up on the holiest of holidays, Easter, the death and resurrection of Christ, the death of the sacrificial lamb, at the same time he says it is finished, it's the same time that the Jewish tradition of sacrificing unblemished lambs was the last one at the temple was sacrificed at that moment. And then he rises from the dead and going against the homophobic and feminist, anti-feminist Christian religion that they like to claim that it is, Jesus arises, rolls the stone away, and the first people that are witnesses to his resurrection are women who are told to go back and tell everyone. And if you know anything about the culture back then, women weren't to be believed on anything. So there you go. Everything you're being told is a lie. But the real truth, the death and resurrection of Christ, the fact that God created us in his image, the fact that God created all things perfect and all things for a reason, is being sullied, ripped apart, and destroyed by these Marxists, these anti-God Satanists that want to bring down the one country built on Christian values that has lasted over 250 years. We're going to let them destroy that in just a couple of years with crazed transgender insanity. It just doesn't make sense. But we have to continue to debunk these narratives so that other people, the people that are on the sidelines that aren't paying attention, that are suddenly going, what the heck is going on with all this? In fact, the next podcast, I might even get into where this is really coming from, NGOs and things of that nature. The stuff that people are going, what happened? Why are we all of a sudden seeing this in the news and around the culture? It's all because it's an attack on Christianity, an attack on freedom and traditional values and nuclear family. And it's all done in the name of Marxism with different subtitles like Black Lives Matter and queer theory and critical race theory and all of this, DEI, which is the Trojan horse. We'll get into that on the next podcast too. The NGOs that are pushing this wave of transgenderism and also the DEI Trojan horse. But we'll get into that next time. Thanks for joining me. I'm Adrian Slade. I'm going to try to put out more content. It's been a rough couple of months, just busy. But thanks for hanging with me, and we will see you guys next time. God bless.